Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today's quick reset is the biggest lies parents believe during school holidays. This is what everyone does. So if you're in the middle of school holidays and you're feeling like you failed because your kids haven't done the nature scavenger hunt, they haven't made sourdough yet, please know you are not behind. You are just running on an energy budget that no one else can see. Today we are resetting the guilt with maths that actually makes sense to neurodivergent people. If you are on school holidays and everywhere you look, it's like other families are ticking off some kind of Pinterest board. Beach days, craft morning zoo trips, play dates with six kids and adults sitting around having lovely chats and cups of tea or wine. And you, are you just having trouble managing two children in the Woolies freezer aisle? Do you feel like taking the kids into the shop to get one thing simple takes all of your energy for the day? Are you just trying to remember if everyone's brushed their teeth in the last few days? Or are you trying to coordinate just one play date and that's making you want to lose your mind? Or does your child just not have the friendships to even have a play date? And you're trying to even coax them out of their room? Do your kids not even want to leave the house? If you feel like you're doing less than other families, it may be because you are. Because you actually have to. Because you're not just managing school holidays, you're managing sensory regulation, emotional regulation, executive dysfunction, exhaustion, burnout, trauma from school. You may be managing children with severe social anxiety that need scripts to really have people over for play dates in a highly structured environment. You may be managing a child's ARFID, which if you don't know what that is, it's avoidant or restrictive food intake disorder. This isn't about picky eating and it isn't about forcing variety. It can be about creating safety, reducing overwhelm, and gently expanding trust around food. You may have children that aren't going to go to someone else's house for a play date, or they will go there, but they will not eat or drink any food the entire period, which can be really tricky to navigate because you want to maintain your child's privacy, but also communicate with the parent that serving them out some party pies that their kids normally eat may not work for your child. So, let's talk about why and what we can start to do differently. First up, a lot of people would have heard about the spoon theory, and it's basically like a metaphor that is used to explain the limited energy reserves of people with chronic illness or disability. So each spoon represents a unit of energy, and once you've run out, you're done for the day, no matter what still needs doing. However, I've never quite got my head around the spoon theory, so I like to talk about energy accounting. You can look up the spoon theory if you like. I can put some information in on the show notes. I'm going to talk more about energy accounting. Energy accounting has really been picked up by autistic and ADHD advocates to describe what actually drains us, when and why it happens. I find energy accounting so important to understand for school holidays because what we know is that not everyone starts the day with the same energy budget. And part of the trick about being neurodivergent is if you don't know that you're neurodivergent, you think you have the same energy budget. So let's say, for example, neurotypical people might wake up with $100 to spend in their energy budget. They may be able to take their kids to the zoo, have a play date, then go to the beach for a barbecue at the end of the day, and then go home and have a glass of wine with their partner or their family member. They may then have a little bit of cash left over to cook dinner, to read a book, to read their child a book in bed, to play a game of cards with their child. Now, as I've said that, to be honest, that sounds like a little bit of a fairy tale. It's actually hard for me to get that out without laughing because that is just way beyond what I would be able to do in a day. But before I would actually attempt to start the day with $100, I would look at some friends and I would see what they were doing. And I'd be like, that is what mum life is. I will do the same thing. Or I would be invited and I would attempt to go and it wouldn't work out, to say the least. Wouldn't work out is probably a nice way of putting it. But since being diagnosed with ADHD and my children having different neurotypes as well, we've had to really start looking at how we do our days. And it was a real breakthrough for me when I realized that I actually don't have $100. I reckon I've probably got about $40. So let's just say, for example, you're going to wake up in the morning and you've got $40, and so have I. That may be your baseline, but we are still paying the premium prices for everything. So for example, this is straight off my energy accounting spreadsheet that I run for myself. Going to the supermarket after school with my children is $20. There's social tax, there's kids arguing, there's overstimulation, there's decision fatigue, there's frustration. If it's after school, I guarantee I haven't had lunch. I'm exhausted and dehydrated. That is going to be $20 straight up. Now, if I've only got $20 left, that's all of my money done for the day. So when I get home and let's say it's 4 o'clock and I see my hubby and he goes, hey, what's for dinner? Wait for me to hit overwhelm, rage, crying, because I've got nothing left. Because going to the supermarket after school, I know it costs me too much money. It costs me too much out of my energy budget and I've got nothing left. And then at the end of the day, when I wonder, how did that go so badly? Why did I yell? Why didn't I read the story with my child? It's because I went to the supermarket and I used up all of my energy there. Let's say mediating a sibling fight, that might be $10 for you. Getting everybody dressed and out of the door in the morning, that might be $12. It's going to be different for everyone. One thing though that I think is important to note here is that you can actually increase your money throughout the day and you can decrease it. So let's say, for example, you've started with $40. Getting the kids to school might be $10. Okay, so now you're down to $30 for the day. You have a really good friend that you love and you are going to go and have coffee with her. Let's say you have a chat about how you both are really feeling. It's safe and supportive and you feel really good when you're leaving. That for you may mean that you've got a $5 pickup. So now you're up to $35 and you've grabbed some money back. You can actually increase money throughout the day if you are doing things that really fill you up. However, if you have to have coffee with somebody that you don't feel safe around or it doesn't go well, or it's a family member that you don't enjoy hanging out with, that may cost you $10. And you could feel different about it each time. That's normal too. Maybe the coffee date with a friend usually gives you $10, but that day, for some reason, they had a really heavy problem and you felt really exhausted afterwards, even though you were glad to have helped them. That could mean that instead of gaining the $10, you actually only gained $5. So there can be an increase and a decrease of the money over the day. Next thing you know, you've got to 7 o'clock and you are in minus $10. You are cooked. You are done. You've got no help coming. So you've got a power on and you are going into the negative as we speak. And that has happened to so many of us, right? It's like if we run out of money at 12 p.m. and it's the school holidays, we are just going into negative real quick. So what happens at this point? At that point, you are using tomorrow's money. So for example, if you are at negative $20 at the end of the day, you may wake up the next morning and only start the day with $20 instead of $40. Your daily allowance of $40, which is your baseline, is now $20 because you've used $20 the night before. You know how we have that load that accumulates over time and we end up getting burnt out? I believe that's why. Often we don't realize that we're in debt until we're in complete shutdown or burnout. Because our brain tends to overspend early because we think today will be different or our ADHD brain takes over and thinks, oh, it's fine, everyone's doing it. I just hope I'll recover later, except later doesn't actually come with rest because I then just plan more things. So this is really important because you may be starting the day with less than $100, but you may be spending the money as if you are starting the day with $100. So if you're wondering why you can't manage the activities that other families seem to do without a huge amount of effort, it's not because you're a bad mum, air quoting, or there's something wrong with you, air quoting. It's because you're actually spending a lot more energy and you've got a lot less energy. If you look at some of the research around this, Dr. Devin Price explains really well that burnout isn't a failure of resilience, but it's the body really just insisting that's the boundary. That's all they can do. So when people talk about hitting burnout and laying in bed and not being able to get up or chronic health condition, or some people go on a holiday and then a massive cold or flu hits them, some of these things may be the body really insisting that it's had enough. It's been in deficit for so long. There's so much research that backs up that parents of neurodivergent children are more likely to experience stress, which directly impacts on working memory and executive planning. So those are the skills that you're using to try and plan the fun holidays. But then if you feel like you're failing at the holidays, you may actually be succeeding at energy conservation and energy accounting. So it's not bad mum, it's not lazy mum. It can actually be a neuroaffirming strategy. If you have limited energy in your budget, you probably have children that have got limited energy in their budget. If you wonder why partway through a jam-packed day, they kick off, fight, disrupt, shut down, whatever it is, refuse to get in the car, won't transition, it may be that is too much for their budget on that day. So let's talk about some of the objections. First one, I hear so many mums say, but I want my kids to have those good memories. This one used to get me too. But what I've really come to realize is that memories are really built on connection. My parents have both passed away, and when I think back to my parents, and I was so blessed with such great parents, there are so many highlights of memories, but it's not the family holiday that we did once every couple of years that I remember. I remember the sound of my dad shutting the screen door when he'd get home from work. And I'd run to meet him and I'd grab his lunch bag because he was a builder and take it upstairs for him. It wasn't the big stuff, it was the little things. It was the way my mum hugged me when I walked into the kitchen. So if you're feeling regulated, your children are more likely to remember feeling safe. They're not going to remember the sourdough that you made from scratch, or whether you made sandwiches that were shaped like sharks, or whether you went to the zoo for 6 hours with another family and you all lost your shit there. So I have been this mum. I have taken my kids to Australia Zoo, for example, in school holidays, and it went very, very, very badly. So badly, the security and the police actually came and it had to help me out. That's how bad that went. I look back to that time and I think, what was I thinking? I can't really blame my children for what happened, but I feel like, to be honest, that was some really poor planning on my behalf. I wouldn't attempt that again. What I do attempt in school holidays, which has been working really well, is I try and do one connection anchor per day. That's what I call it, a connection anchor. One of my favorites is a movie, a family movie with popcorn, and the parents always pick. Now, the children can come to us with suggestions, but we pick. And we don't have any other technology on at that time, unless, you know, there's always circumstances where you have to break the rule. But we really try our best to have five people with popcorn on the couch together watching a movie. Or I'll try and separate, divide and conquer, and take one child to just try and draw together. Do some art and craft together for, I'm talking 10 minutes, not a long time. Or I'll take one of the kids for a walk for 5 minutes. Or I'll play one round of Uno with a child, like, come quick, let's play a bit of Uno here for a few minutes. I'm not talking about huge long windows. I'm talking about quick connection. And depending on the children you've got, they may or may not like eye contact. For my children, depending on which one I've got in front of me, I know one of them really loves it. He loves me looking him in the eye and talking to him directly and feeling like he is the only one in the world that I'm looking at for this 5 minute period. That I know works better. And the reason I know it works better is because they are connected with me throughout the day. Now, we may not do a lot of the activities, but I know that we have had some quality time during the day. So depending on the children and the family you've got, you don't have to go big activities all day with other families. You can do less, but connect more. Objection number two, other mums are managing more. I should be able to do that. Now, that is a myth. It is a myth that all mums have the same capacity. We've gone over that before. The reality is that you are managing invisible variables. You have got specific meal requests. You've got co-regulating emotions. You've got self-care that you need to help your children with for longer. You've got physical touch all day, sensory overload. You've possibly got neurodivergent children who do require more parenting than others. So the strategy behind this one is to actually map it out. You don't have to have a full diary or a spreadsheet or get an app for it. All you need is your notes in your phone. What gives me energy? What takes energy? How much energy do you think I wake up with? Maybe map out what a air quoting good day looks like and air quoting what a bad day looks like, and look at what are the activities in each and how can I have enough energy at the end of the day to read that book to my child if that is something that you really value, or have that chat with my child in bed. Give them a bit of time. If you can end the day not feeling like you've gone into the red zone, and that you've gone into the negative energy-wise, how does that day look? Objection three, but they'll be bored if I don't plan activities. Well, they might be bored, and I think that's okay. Boredom can be really uncomfortable, especially for dopamine-seeking brains. However, boredom is also where creativity starts. If you look at some of Maggie Dent's work on boys, for example, she thinks that boredom outside, that is where the magic happens. They start to build things, cubbies, mud. But you know what? I have one boy particularly, and he seems to have his neurotransmitters all crossed over in his brain because he seems to think it's my job to entertain him constantly. He is painful when he's bored. I get it. However, what I try and do with him is to make a boredom board. A sheet with a few options, a dice, a pick a number game, and it's up to him to find something to do. It is not my job to entertain him, and having days at home or having days with not a lot planned is okay. Another objection that I hear quite often is I've tried energy accounting before and I just seem to overcommit. Okay, I get this. I've done this too. For me, it was social pressure. Social media, people asking me to do things and then feeling like I should be doing them. I'm a bad mum because I don't have the energy. I'm the bad mum because I don't want to. I know it's going to be tough. I know the kids are going to be difficult. I don't want to. But if you are a people pleaser, and a lot of us are, we are conditioned to be easy or low maintenance or say yes. So people pleasing can really be a trauma response, and it can really hit hard for us mums who are conditioned to say yes, be easy, low maintenance, or also to like please our children by saying, yeah, we can go there with that person. In this situation, it's really good to start practicing, I'm sorry, we can't this time. Maybe practice saying, thanks for the invite. We're just going to sit this one out. Not because we don't want to come, but because we're conserving capacity at the moment. We've had a lot on lately. Or you might say, hey, I can't Thursday because we've had heaps on Wednesday and Tuesday, but what about Monday next week? Or I don't think coming to a big barbecue is going to work for us right now, but I'm happy for you to come over at this other time. Now, if this episode really hit the mark for you this school holidays, please send it to another mum who's drowning in the shoulds. And if you forget everything else, remember this. Your family's needs are valid, even if they don't match what everyone else is doing. You don't need to do what everyone else is doing, but you need to do what your energy budget allows. So remember this school holidays, the bare minimum is still a miracle. You kept the kids alive, you didn't walk into the ocean, you made the toast and you vaguely acknowledged someone's drawing of a lizard. That's parenting. The Pinterest version is just untrue. Thanks for listening. Please tune in to our next mini reset and hang in there for the school holidays. Thanks so much for listening.